What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week we are talking about your pick of the month, and that is Pathology from 2008. Where did you hear about this movie?
I don't know, just through my internet search of best horror movies you've never seen. And this was number one on the list I saw. So
Number one.
read the synopsis and sounded cool. So I was like, let's do it.
Want to know who compiled this list and what other movies were on it? Interesting. Okay. All right. Yeah, this came out in like the midst of like I don't know what came out around this time, like Ghost Ship, I think.
Resident Evil.
Resident Evil. I'm trying to remember. It kind of had like that sort of feel to Ghost Ship was 2002. Feel like Resident Evil was around that time too.
Wrong Turn, or was that 2005?
Resident Evil was 2002 also. I don't know. It kind of had that feel of like the early 2000s
The
horror
Midnight Meat
movies.
Train, the Strangers.
But yeah, I don't know. It just had that sort of feel of the early 2000s horror kind of boom that came out with all those types of movies. So maybe slightly a little behind in the time for the way it was made, but alas, we will talk about it after we do our booze and news. Right, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking a Collective Arts Grapefruit and Lime Ghost. Pretty
Ten
cool
bucks is
can.
gonna be sour.
Probably.
Grapefruit and lime. That's a tart combination.
That's sour, all right.
Oh yeah. That reaction says it all.
What would you?
I'm just drinking the Blackberry Crown again.
Nice.
Yeah. It was still sitting on my desk from our last episode, so I said, fuck it.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Did you watch anything cool this week?
Not really, but I suppose I should share.
Can if you want.
I watched The Terminal. Kind of I don't know. I don't know if it's like a what do you call it? Some of you like to watch, but it's not like that great, you know?
The Terminal. I feel like I've heard of that.
That's Tom Hanks when he's stuck in the airport.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a
Okay.
fun movie. Rewatched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Nice.
It's been a few years since I've seen that. Because a lot of people have like, I don't know, everyone's list kind of changes for their Quentin movies. And this is like always at the top of people's lists, so I want to rewatch it. And it's still like not my favorite, but it is definitely, I think, probably top five.
Yeah.
Just for that ending scene alone is just amazing.
I have still never seen
What? Dude, it's
it.
on
Yeah.
Netflix, man.
I know. I know.
Wow.
It's really long, though, isn't it? A commitment.
It's long, but it doesn't feel like as long. It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Then today I watched The Equalizer.
Nice.
Been a while since I've seen that. Still haven't seen the third one, so I think I might watch the next two.
Nice.
How about you?
I watched a little bit. I watched Strays,
How was
which
that?
was
I mean, 2.5, but
it's I mean, it's what you would expect it to be.
yeah.
There were some funny parts, but it was just, I don't know, wasn't great. I watched The Untouchables.
Nice.
I was just like, I was in a mood this week to just watch like movies that I just enjoy, that I know that I enjoy, as you can tell from what I've watched, like The Untouchables, Happy Gilmore, Dazed and Confused. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Felt like watching some comfort movies, I guess.
Yeah, fair.
And Happy Gilmore, the actor that, can't remember, Joe something, the guy who keeps calling him a jackass, that Shooter
Oh,
McGavin. He passed away this week. So,
Oh,
like,
no, really?
yeah. So I feel like it's just been every time I open up my internet browser at work, because it pops up to like MSN News, like there's always an article about how he's passed away. So it's just kind of fresh in my mind. So,
And the announcement of a sequel.
yeah, that too. That's, yeah, another big one, which I'm excited for.
Yeah. I'm semi excited for it.
I don't know. I feel like you can't change Happy Gilmore to like make it any better. And I feel like it's probably going to be worse because we live in like woke society now. So I feel like a lot of the jokes are going to be gone. But I don't know. I feel like it still could be fun.
Nice.
And yeah, Dazed and Confused, that's one of my favorite movies. So
Yeah, it's a good
yeah.
one.
Reading a lot this week. Started the second Mistborn book, so I've been
Nice.
plowing through that, really enjoying it.
Good, good.
That's it.
Cool.
News. This week, Texas Chainsaw Massacre celebrated its 50th birthday,
Am.
which is pretty cool. I imagine they're going to be releasing an anniversary set of some sort for it. So I really want to keep my eyes open for that. We got the first trailer for Bambi the Reckoning. And it just looks like a ridiculously stupid fun time. So I don't know. I'm kind of excited for it. We got a first look at Christian Bale as Frankenstein in the, I guess it's a remake of The Bride of Frankenstein that Maggie Gyllenhaal is directing. I don't know how I feel about the look of him.
Dude, I think it looks sick.
He looks sick, but at the same, like, he's got a tattoo. Why does he have a tattoo? I don't know. I feel
It's
like they're.
fucking 2024 Frankenstein, man.
I know. Well, does it take place in 2024? I guess.
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe. And it's Christian Bale, so it's gonna be good. There was something else too that I had. What was it? Oh, we're getting first trailer for Maxine on Monday.
I thought they were to release the trailer, or is it just a teaser?
I think it was just, yeah, it was just very much a teaser that kind of had the credits of who's going to be in it. What else? First Omen releases today. Monkey Man released this week too. I think there was an early release on Thursday for that, but it's getting good reviews. It looks really good.
Kind of some like upsetting news. Civil War is Alex Garland's last movie he's gonna direct
Really?
because he wants to get out of filmmaking.
Why? He's so good.
I know.
Wow. I didn't know that. Way to bring the mood down, man.
Sorry, man.
Jesus. That's shitty. What, like, what's he want to do? Like, what's he gonna pursue at this point?
Yeah, I don't know.
Stupid. Be funny if he worked at like a grocery store or something.
Yeah.
It's always been my dream to stock shelves.
Yeah,
All right, well, that sucks. I don't have any more news, though. If you want to get the 4Ks up.
doesn't look like anything interesting, but it's one sec. We just got some more money grabs from Disney.
Go figure.
Bunch of steelbooks of Avengers, Black Panther. That Doctor Strange one is actually pretty sick, but
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy, sick cover.
Mm-hmm.
We got Rainbow First Blood and Rainbow Last Blood
Are
on
you saying
4K.
rainbow?
Did I? Maybe I did.
I swear you
Rainbow?
said rainbow.
That's
Oh,
the 2024 version.
that's great.
Cutthroat Island. Don't know what that is, but it's a pretty sick cover.
That's sick.
We got Red, the two film collection. Children of the Corn, not the classic, but the 2020 remake.
Jesus Christ, that doesn't deserve a fucking steelbook release.
No. We got Brawl and Cell Block 99.
Sick.
Mayhem, Prisoners of the Ghostland, Lahine on Criterion, which I thought it already was on Criterion, but it's just at the 4K release.
Yeah.
Some movie called All Ladies Do It and Major League.
Sick. But you said it
So,
wasn't an interesting
well,
list
I
this
just saw
week.
the start of it. I was like, oh, just to be Marvel movies, but there's actually quite a bit of movies released
Yeah,
this week.
this is a fucking stellar list.
Yeah.
All right. So many movies I won't be buying.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just too fucking expensive right now. All right, cool. Well, I guess we can talk about this movie.
Yes, sir.
All right, like we said in the intro this week, we are talking about Pathology from 2008. This was Brooke's pick of April. I need to pull up my notes. 1 second, they're there. Starting off with the synopsis. A group of medical students devise a deadly game to see which one of them can commit the perfect murder.
Yes. Can I edit that?
Yes.
A group of crack addicted medical students.
Yeah, man, this movie took a bit of a turn.
That's, oh man, yeah.
I've scratched my head for a little bit.
I mean, on IMDb, the first like movie genre is dark comedy, so you know,
Oh, was it? I didn't
I guess
notice
it
that.
fits, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't really see any comedy in it, though.
I mean, I laughed at some parts.
Well, yeah. This was directed by Mark Schollerman. His only other full-length movie is a movie that came out in 2023 called Bark, and it also stars Michael Weston, who's in this movie. Our cast list is that, is it Milo or Milo? Milo.
Milo.
Milo
Yeah.
Ventimiglia. So he plays Ted Gray. He is most known for his role as Jack in This Is Us. All the ladies loved him. In that show, Sarah was
I was
fucking
gonna
up
say Heroes.
for us because we're nerds, but
Yeah.
I mean, for the general populace, This Is Us was
Yeah.
his huge role.
Yeah.
Like you said, he was also a main character in Heroes. He was in Gamer and Stay Alive, which is a movie that we guested on Horror
Oh, yeah.
Cafe
Yeah.
to talk about. Like I said, Michael Weston is in this. He played Jake Gallo. He's in State of Play, Dukes of Hazzard, Garden State, and also Gamer.
I don't know about you, but he reminded me a lot and looked like not Donald Sutherland, Kiefer Sutherland a little
Okay.
bit in this movie.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
This movie sort of did have a flatliner sort of feel to it.
That's all I was thinking of the whole time. I was like, this
Yeah.
guy's Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah, I see it. Has Alyssa Milano play Gwen? She's obviously Charmed, Who's the Boss, Commando, and Fear. Lauren Lee Smith played Juliet Bath, and she was in Trick or Treat, If I Stay, The Shape of Water, and Mutant X. Do you remember Mutant X?
Can't say I do.
It's like an old Canadian 90s TV show. Super shitty low budget, but yeah, I remember it being on. I don't have any. Well, I was saving the honorable mentions for you
Oh, thanks,
because
man.
there's a few.
Yeah, for me, I don't know how to say his first name. Kier
Yeah.
O'Donnell. He's probably most notable for playing Todd on Wedding Crashers, iconic character. Yeah. And that was pretty much it for me.
Okay. Let me pull up IMDb. Actually, I'll just do it from Letterboxd because I already have it open. Larry Drake is in this, who played Dr. Giggles.
Really?
Yeah, he played the fat guy that they kill.
Oh, also, I like his name on IMDb. Same with the other guy that gets killed. Just
Fat
fat
bastard.
bastard and motherfucker.
Oh, there he is. John DeLancey, who played Dr. Morris. So he is in Crank, Gamer as well, Rain Over Me, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. He's been in a lot of movies. He's one of those faces that's like, oh yeah. He was in Star Trek as well, The Next Generation. I can't
Oh,
remember who
okay.
he played, but yeah, it's been in a lot of stuff. Yeah, I think that was it for me. I mean, a decent cast.
Yeah, for 2008.
Yeah, not terrible. That's it. I guess we can dive in.
Cool. I'm gonna go blow my nose real quick, okay?
Okay. Smoking a
It's
crack.
running.
Dive into this movie.
All righty. So yeah, this movie is pretty much the name of the title. It's about a bunch of pathology students who I didn't really know exactly what pathology was. They're not really like they don't like really work in the morgue. They're like researchers kind of who try and find like the cause of death or like diseases that people have. Stuff like that. And actually, there's a quote that I want to read. That's at the beginning of the movie that kind of like ties in well with the movie. I mean, that's probably what they're going for, right? If I can find it.
Well, you find that I have the definition of pathology.
Okay.
The science of the causes and effects of diseases, especially the branch of medicine that deals with the laboratory examination of samples of body tissue for diagnostic and forensic purposes. Kind of like a morgue, but they do like more of the study, I guess.
Why don't they have that? They only have this fucking other quotes. Basically, it was about like the hypocrisy of like you're supposed to be the one who is like taking care of the dead and like respecting the dead. That's basically talking about the hypocrisy of, you know, especially what these people are doing. Like right at the beginning, like there's like a little kid and they're trying to figure out how he died, and they're just like making fun of him, fucking pulling boogers out of his nose, and like just throwing stuff all around. And like, it's like, what the
That's one thing I don't get with this movie. Like,
Yeah.
these are students, doctors. They're
Yep.
doctors. Let's get that straight. And there's Dr. Morris, who is like their teacher or supervisor, whatever. And he just lets them fucking run wild in this place, man.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
I've seen zoo animals behave better than these fucking student doctors did. Like, it blew my mind. I was like, how can you consider yourself a prestigious college if this is how you fucking allow your student doctors to act? Like, I don't care that, like, they're not with the public, they don't have to talk to families or anything like that, but like, there's got to be a code of conduct, man. Like, they're just ridiculous.
And the one part like made me really like laugh because it was like fucked up, but like thinking about it, like it's actually like a real thing. So like Ted gets to the pathology class or the room, and he meets Ben, who is like the good guy in this movie. Like he's kind of like the loser, I guess. Like isn't really friends with anyone else, and he's telling Ted like, yeah, it's pretty slow right now, but you know, it's holiday season coming up, so hopefully it'll pick up. And it's like, that's a fucked up thing to say, but it's like
It's true.
people in this industry and like in the funeral industry, like to keep their jobs, they need people to die. Right.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah. We do get a little bit of backstory of Ted. He is engaged to Gwen, who is the daughter of a very rich and prestigious doctor. So they currently live there. They're going to be getting like the back house, and Ted is going to this pathology course for 3 months to kind of learn and stuff like that. And he just got back from Africa. He's like kind of this like golden child, like Dr. Morris, like really likes him a lot, is excited for him to be here. And that kind of causes tension with the rest of the classmates, because they don't like how he's kind of this big show off who know it all and stuff, right?
Gwen's dad is another honorable mention. He was played by Alan Blumenfield.
Okay.
He was also in Heroes. I remember him playing like a creepy, like weird guy in something. He's in The Interview. Anyways, it doesn't matter, but yeah, he's another honorable mention.
I wrote down Carl, but I don't know. I remember, forget who that is. I know it's a dead guy they run into.
Carl.
Sometimes I just write down these names and then I
Let's
don't know.
see who Carl was. I don't see Carl on the cast list at all.
Okay, I don't know.
I don't know.
But anyways, there's a dead guy that they are going to be looking over, and then like all of a sudden his body just starts like convulsing,
Oh, yeah.
and then fucking Ted just like takes a knife and stabs him in the back of the neck, and they're like, okay, show off, like what the fuck. And like Dr. Morris is like, you can't really do that, but pretty impressive. And in this movie, like the writing I find is not good. And I think feel like they do kind of like overdo it with a lot of the medical lingo that they use. Like there's so much words, like long words and stuff that they're saying. It's, I don't know, it just doesn't seem believable that these characters know what all this is.
Based on how they act, yeah, no, absolutely not.
Yeah. Like maybe Ted, but like fucking Jake and Juliet and Griffin and like the others, it's like, but I do like the little like montage of them like doing their work, and like I think it's like Griffin or one of the guys is like cut into a body and fucking like just looking like spurts out, and then Griffin is like, oh yeah, don't cut into the fucking
The shit pipe.
the shit pipe, but the guy just throws up all over the body, and it's like, dude, like you guys are just disrespecting these like people, right? Who were somebody's kid or father or whatever, right?
I was like, as I was watching it though, like I'm not smart enough to be a doctor. I'm not claiming to be smart enough to be a doctor, but like this would be a cool job, man.
I wouldn't be able to do it, but
I think it'd be so cool.
fucking go in there with the fucking huge snips, just cutting the rib cage off, and
Yeah, that looked like they're using bolt cutters to cut these ribs open.
well, you have to probably, right? But I do like how they use like practical effects in this movie, especially for like this time, like when it was going to the CGI and stuff like that. They used a lot of like pig and I think cow or horse intestines and stuff like that.
Yeah, a lot of the organs were farm animals.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So Jake invites Ted out to the bar, and they order drinks, and then one of the characters, I didn't write her name down, the Asian girl, Carolyn or something like that, Catherine.
Catherine, yeah.
She says like, oh, let's play truth. Let's play the game tell the truth or something like that. And she asks, or Juliet asks, like, who would you kill and how would you do it? And this kind of like starts like shows the weirdness of this group. Like Juliet is with Jake, and Ted gives the answer of he would kill anyone, like any human being who could kill would kill anyone, because like that's just like animal instinct kind of taken over, right? It doesn't matter
Mm-hmm.
who it is.
Yeah, he mentioned something about like not needing a motive and stuff like that.
And this Juliet kind of like takes a liking to him and starting to like him, but she is with Jake right now.
She finds psychopathic tendencies to be sexy.
She does. So Jake invites Ted out for drinking the next night. This is when kind of the movie starts taking a turn. They show up at some door,
This was
some big black guy comes out and
motherfucker.
yeah, motherfucker. Jake is like, okay, like they let me in, and the guy's like, oh, $150. And Jake is like, oh, I got $80. He's like, you know, I'll tell everyone what's going on here. And I didn't know what the fuck this was.
This is fucked up.
So like they go into this house and like very weird like camera like shots in this scene. Like it just Ted is like drunk and stuff. And so it's like kind of the camera's like all like around and he's like walking through these rooms. There's like a fucking baby in a crib, and then he walks into some room with Jake and some like old lady just like on the bed, like smiling, like getting down, about to have sex with them, I guess. And
Yeah, it
then,
was like a fucking it was a brothel, like a pimp house, and the guy at the front door was the pimp, and we find out later on that the woman on the bed was his fucking grandmother that he's pimping out. It's like Jesus Christ, man. I hated this scene though, dude. Like
Yeah, it was out of left field.
it was out of left field, and I hated the way it was filmed. Like, I get that Ted was drunk, but like that whole shaky cam, man, like I don't get motion sickness from movies and stuff like that, but like I was getting like so like I don't even like d discombobulated. Like I was just I don't know, man. The scene did something to me. I fucking hated it. I did not like the way it was filmed.
No, I agree. I agree with you there. So the next day they're in class and they have a new subject, and Dr. Morris is there and they're all sitting around. He pulls the sheet away and it's the bodyguard from last night. And you're like, oh shit, like, damn. Because for me, when I read the synopsis, I thought that like they just did stuff to the dead bodies already and like played a game of like who could get whatever. Then it turned into this, but I didn't realize that like, oh, these students are like killing people methodically and then have to guess how they did it. But I thought it was pretty cool. So obviously Ted like freaks the fuck out, he leaves, and then Jake, or does he go back out and gives a guess what happened to the guy?
Yeah, so he storms off and he like punches a locker and he just, I don't know, kind of psychs himself up, I guess, to go back in. And then, yeah, they're all trying to figure out what happened to him. And then Jake gives, or Ted gives this big long thing that he thinks is the cause of it. And then he orders, or he tells Dr. No Morris to order a whatever type of scan because, there's something with his blood, like he got slashed a whole bunch of times, but like he didn't
So
bleed out and stuff like that.
basically what Ted says happened is this guy was hit with a bat in the side of the head, then he was poisoned, and then the poison sat in his body for like 8 hours, and then the person came back and stabbed him a bunch of times and then shot him in the head, which didn't cause any blood loss and stuff like that.
Yeah, like he was already dead whenever he got shot, but they made it look like it was the gunshot that killed him.
And so he figured out the murder. Jake is, yeah, so he figured out the murder, and Ted is like talking to Juliet and stuff like that, and he's not sure if he wants to be in this game with them. And Juliet writes on a note her phone number, and then a room number on the back of the piece of paper. So he goes to this room, and there's a guy who's like pretty much on his deathbed, and the doctor in there is basically saying that the guy killed his kid and wife, and then he tried to kill himself. And so I think that was Juliet kind of like showing Ted that they kill bad people.
Yeah, only people that deserve to die.
Yeah.
Which I see it, because the fucking big black guy that they killed, he was pimping at his grandmother.
Yeah, because Ted says, because Jake says, like, oh, he was a bad guy. And Ted was like, well, like, he couldn't have been like that bad. Like, he's a parent, he's a son. And then that's when Jake is like, oh, well, the person that was he was pimping it was his grandmother. So.
And then, like, we have this guy who killed his wife and kids, and then there's a couple more later on that we find out about.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they are killing bad people. Like, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And like another weird scene that I just didn't get because it just totally goes on a different path of what Ted is as a character. So he's on a bus, and then all of a sudden, this guy has a heart attack or something, and people are yelling, "Is there a doctor on the bus?" And Ted just gets up and gets on the bus, and it's like, okay, but that's not you, right?
Yeah, like you went to Africa to help people in
Yeah,
Africa and
exactly.
shit like that. Like, was he into the crack at this point yet? I don't remember.
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
No. So he goes back to the guy's room, the motherfucker's room, and he puts something in like a syringe inside him, and then puts some drops in his mouth to kill him. And no, he puts it in his ear. He puts
Yeah.
something in his ear.
But then he does do drops in his mouth. I don't know what the drops in his
Yeah.
mouth are, but
Yeah. And like as soon as he puts the thing in his ear, the guy flatlines. And I was like, well, wouldn't like the nurses and doctors be running to this guy to figure out what the fuck happened?
You would think.
But I guess not.
I forgot this guy was the motherfucker. I was thinking it was
Yeah.
black guy that was the
Yeah.
motherfucker. Yeah,
I mean, they're both motherfuckers, but
they are. Yeah.
So now they are in what do they call this room that they lowered it down? So I don't know, but they're in some like underground, closed off part of the hospital.
It's a 100-year-old wing that nobody uses anymore.
Yeah, and so this is where they bring the people they kill, and like there's an incinerator down there as well. So like they all try to figure out how this per the person killed them, and that's the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, at this point they fucking pulled the crack pipe, and I was like, how are these people doctors? Like, what the fuck? Like at this point, it just, I don't know, it just took a turn I didn't expect. Just so much drugs and sex,
Sex,
like,
yeah.
holy crap, man.
Yeah, man, this movie lost me in the second act.
Yeah.
It started off good. Like, I thought it was like a good like doctor thriller type movie. I was like, okay, this is like a medical thriller. Like, I can get behind this. Like, this is kind of cool. Like, with the whole game, like, I thought that game was that's a
Yeah.
really good idea.
It is, yeah.
And like, not only does it like test the doctors, but it's also like kind of creepy. It kind of shows how much of a piece of shit they are.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, man, this second half, just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And so the next morning, Ted wakes up to fucking eyeballs beside his bed, and it's like, okay, whose fucking eyeballs are these? Like, what the fuck? So later that night, he is it with Juliet, and they are staking out a new victim. They pull up to some trailer park, and there's like this big fat guy, and she's saying how he used to own, was it all these hotels or something like that?
He owns
or
seven
rent,
businesses or
yeah,
something.
something like that. He married his high school sweetheart, had a kid or kids, but he molests like little girls, and then she's like, "Oh, I know that because it's my dad." It's like, what the fuck? Because like the line she says, and because Ted asks her like, "Well, how do you know that he's a pedophile?" And she's just like, "Oh, you never forget your first fuck." And I was like, "Jesus Christ!"
Yeah, they went there.
Yeah. And so they're in there with her dad, and like he like puts his hands on her knees, and I gotta say, this kill was fucking sick.
Dude, yeah, it was nuts, man.
So these doctors fucking pull out whippets, and it's like, what the fuck? They have like this lunchbox of whippets, and so I think at this, does it? I don't think it shows the kill at this part. They're trying to guess, I think, what happened, right?
Well, it's kind of going back and forth, I think.
Right.
Like, 'cause they figure out that his lungs were like frozen,
Yeah.
but the rest of his body, all of his other organs were like completely intact and like donor quality. Like, this guy was relatively healthy despite the fact that he was like 400 pounds.
Yeah.
So they're trying to figure out why his lungs were frozen, but the rest of them wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is where
Yeah,
the
so it
scene.
cuts back and they pull up this lunchbox of like whippets, and they're like, "Okay, who wants to go first?" And the dad is like, "Oh, like I'll go." And so they put the whippet, give him one, and then they pull this big canister and give it to him, and he like takes a puff, and then they both jump on him and like force it in his mouth and pull it out, and he's still like his tongue gets frozen, and it was fucking sick kill.
Yeah, and his eyes like start bulging and they get like all bloodshot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And then of course, immediately after, in the same room, they just start having sex.
Yeah, it's fucking
Just
crazy.
crazy hardcore sex.
Yeah, like animalistic.
Yeah. And it's like, Jesus, Ted, come on, man. You got a beautiful girl, fiance at home, rich, like,
Yeah. Her
idiot.
dad got you into this school.
Yeah. And then you find out that the fat bastard wasn't actually her dad.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make it any better. He's still apparently a,
But I
you
mean,
know.
do we know that he actually did this stuff?
That's true. Yeah.
Because, like,
Yeah.
she lied about him being her dad. Maybe he was just some guy.
Yep.
But he was creepy, the way he had his hand on her leg and shit.
Yep. Then we get a little montage of the other people playing the game. We got Catherine, she's like in a club, and you know, they're fucking dancing with a guy, and you know, everyone's doing ecstasy, and then she puts a pill in his mouth, and then it's like, oh, it's a cyanide pill, so he's dead. Griffin picks up a hitchhiker, which like, I don't know if he's a bad guy. You know, this is a fucking hitchhiker who seemed like a good guy, but
Yeah, just a hippie.
he gives him some cigarette that had no.
Yeah, it was a cigarette.
Was he?
And whenever it heated up, it activated whatever it was that was in it.
Right. But I thought there was someone who switched blood with like an HIV patient or something like that
Yeah,
they
I don't think we
mentioned.
saw that happen. I think it was just in one of the reports.
Okay. And so yeah, after all this, one of the next days, Dr. Morris kind of confronts Ted, like, you know, I know what's going on, and you know, Ted's like, oh shit, you know about the killings, and he's Dr. Morris is like your extracurricular activities. And he knows that Ted is using, so you know, pretty much tells him to smarten up because he's got a lot riding on this, and you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So he is still having like sex. Like there's so many sex scenes in this movie. Like it's just short, quick sex scenes between Ted and Juliet. They're like obviously hooking up and stuff like that.
Like the whole tone of the movie just like completely changed during all this stuff. Like, I don't know. We could have done with all the without all the sex scenes and all the fucking crack smoking and shit like that. Like, just leave it as them being like fucking psychopaths.
So Ted is back home. He finished up his 3 months. Another like weird fucking scene. It's like, why do you have this in here? Ted and Gwen are having sex, and Ted can't stop thinking about Juliet, but like he's not thinking about the times that he had sex with Juliet. It's like cutting to a scene with Juliet and Jake having sex, but it's like fucking weird ass sex. Like she fucking pulls out the acupuncture stuff and she puts it on his chest and fucking pierces his two nipples, and it's like, what the fuck?
It's like very masochistic sex.
So Gwen wants to come with him to finish up his thing, so she's coming with him to stay at his apartment. And of course, as soon as she gets there, she finds a crack pipe in there, and he's like, oh, it's not mine, it's for a resident.
He's like, I'm holding it for him. He's trying to get off of it.
And so they go to like some kind of gala of some sort, and I love the confrontation between like Jake when he meets Ted and Gwen. He's just like, oh, Gwen, has Ted told you about all the people he's killed? And because he works on dead bodies, so like she doesn't really get it. And also like another weird scene. As soon as Gwen goes and sees Dr. Morris, his fucking introduction to her is like,
Dude, he's a
he's
creep.
like, oh, Gwen, you're looking very sexual. It's like, what the
Meanwhile, he's told Ted at the start of the movie that like he remembers her when she was like freshly out of braces and stuff. It's like you've known this girl since she was a child, and this is what you're saying about her?
Oh,
Fucking
man.
weird, man.
So the writing in this movie, it's like, what the fuck? But at this point, like, Jake is fucking turning crazy. Like, Ted is kind of like trying to stay away from him and stuff like that. Juliet wants to get away from Jake, and he tells her like, oh, I fucking own you, you can't do shit, stuff like that.
Starts causing this huge scene at this gala.
This fucking goes nuts.
And again, nobody does anything. Like, this is a prestigious gala, and this guy's like throwing champagne glasses across the room. And
And
I don't
so
know.
Jake tells Ted to meet him at the lab at like 9 p.m. So Ted goes there and Jake doesn't show up and he's about to leave, and then Jake just like comes to the elevator, is like, come on, let's go. And takes him downstairs to their area, and there's just fucking three dead hookers there. And Jake got stabbed, and he's playing a game with Ted, and Ted is like guessing how he killed each of these people. So he leaves. Ted leaves, goes back to his place, and another like weird scene. Like, I don't know why the fuck they had it in here, but like he pulls up to his place and Juliet is there like in the corner, and she like kind of confronts him a bit, like, I don't like Jake and stuff like that, he's kind of going crazy. And then she starts like kissing him and he kisses her, and then she just starts giving him a BJ just right in the open open down there, and it's like, fuck. And so Ted is pretty much like quitting this class, I guess.
Extracurriculars.
Jake tells him there's a big meeting tomorrow night, and he won't want to miss this one. So he goes there, and all the other students are there except for Juliet. And then Jake pulls the cover back, and it's Juliet. She's dead. So obviously Jake killed her, because he's fucking cray cray. And all the other people are kind of like surprised, like Catherine. I don't know what their relationship was, but there was a lot of scenes of them making out and having sex too, and it's like
Yeah, they're all there except for Ted and her. And they all start saying like, oh, we should kill him and like we don't want him to be part of this anymore kind of thing. And then they're like, yeah, her too. Like, we should kill her too. And then whenever he pulls the bag, they're all like, what the fuck, man? And then Jake starts going crazy. He's like, what the fuck? What do you mean, what the fuck? Like, because 2 seconds ago they're all saying like, oh, we should kill both of them. Now she is dead.
Was Ted down there? Yeah, Ted was down there, right?
He was kind of like hiding in the shadows around the corner. Like they didn't know he was there.
So they're all like kind of like arguing with each other, and then all of a sudden you see like this gas, like air gas, like not liquid gas, but like I don't know what the fuck you call it. Coming from like the lights above the body. And then all of a sudden a fucking huge ass explosion. You assume everyone's dead. Like obviously Griffin is fucked up, Catherine's dead. And you would think that Jake is dead. And then the next day, Ted shows up at like the crime scene, and like Dr. Morris doesn't really seem bothered at all that his students are dead, but you know, he's telling Ted like, oh yeah, they found there's explosion and like a bunch of my students were killed and injured. They found were able to identify Griffin's body, Catherine's body, and there's two bodies that they couldn't identify. And Ted is like, hold on, there was only four bodies? And Morris is like, yeah, there was Catherine or Griffin and two they couldn't identify. But there was five. Not like four, what? And then he's just like, I gotta leave. And it's like
Not being suspicious at
not at
all.
all. Like there's cops around, and it's like, oh my God, yeah. So he realizes that Jake is still alive, so he tries calling Gwen, and he can't get a hold of her, obviously, because that's how every kind of thriller horror movie goes.
Course.
She's in her room looking at like old pictures of them, and you see Jake shows up, knocks on her door, and he has like a hood over, and he's like got like bandages, and he's also gonna do something to her. So then Ted gets runs all the way there. And I don't know if you noticed it, but did you notice when he was running through the hallway,
No.
Ted? Jake was there.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. When he's running by the hallway in one of the corners, you see like a gray hooded guy just standing there. It's like 2 seconds.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So he was still there
Oh, fuck.
when
Yeah,
he
no, I didn't
found her.
notice that.
So he goes in. Gwen is, you know, she's just laying on the bed, like close her eyes, looks like she's sleeping, and he goes up to her. All like the pictures are scattered around, and he just like holds her and then like feels her pulse and just starts crying. So, you know, Gwen is dead. And so the next day, you know, Dr. Morris, you know, not really remorseful at all, says like, oh, I'm sorry about Gwen. And then Ted is like, oh, I'm going to be doing the autopsy. And Morris is like, no, like you can't do the autopsy, like, you know, I won't let you. And he's like, I already got permission from her dad, and I'm gonna be the only one in there that's doing it, because he wants to figure out the game, right, of how he killed her. So he is doing the autopsy. He finishes up. He doesn't tell you or tell the audience what happened to her, but he gets attacked by Jake. Jake ties him up with like some
Zip
tie
ties.
wraps, zip ties, and you know, it's kind of has a knife and is like kind of fucking with Jake, like telling him, or with Ted. And he isn't, I don't think he says like how he did it, but like something with like a chemical, obviously, because that's kind of like how all their kills kind of like happen, right? She turned her back on him, and that's kind of how he did it.
Yeah, because in his initial report, that like would have went to her family, he said that she died from
Oh, right.
not a heart attack. It was something with her heart, but like,
Yeah.
and Jake was pissed. He was like, what the fuck? Like, this is a cop out answer, blah, blah, blah. And then Ted was like, well, I said that because I didn't want her parents to like freak out. And then he kind of rhymed off what actually happened.
So he's still tied up, and as they're doing this, Ben fucking comes out from nowhere just with the fucking, because Jake is like telling, or Ted is telling a story about covering her mouth. Like, he's explaining how Jake killed Gwen, and he's like, oh, you put formaldehyde or whatever over her mouth, and then stuck her with some like chemical. And as soon as he says that, you see Ben come up from behind with the fucking cloth and stick the needle in. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
So he's like fallen asleep. He's like not dead. He's like still alive. But they have him on the autopsy table, and then like it's kind of like a callback to, I think, what Jake said sometime in the movie, but basically saying that it takes 7 minutes to fall asleep or something like that.
But he's still explaining what he did to Gwen. So he said, like, you were careful that she didn't lose consciousness so she could hear everything that you said to her while you were doing this. And he said something about how they either stay conscious or stay alive for 7 minutes, which is the average length of time it takes a person to fall asleep.
Oh, right.
And while they're saying this, or while he's saying this, Ben is keeping an eye on the clock, and he's like, yeah,
Yeah.
it's like 6 minutes and 30 seconds. And he starts
Yeah.
doing a countdown.
Yeah.
And right before they get to 7 minutes, Ted's like, well, Dr. Strakowski, let's cut him open.
Yeah.
And he just starts slicing him up. I'm like, Jesus, that's
Yeah.
ruthless.
Yeah, that's fucking sick. And apparently, when he said there's like 7 minutes, there was actually 7 minutes left in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, like that final scene I thought was sick when, like he said, he just says, all right, let's open him up, and it just fucking, they just, he's like alive, fucking cut him open, do the autopsy thing. Fucking Ben comes over with the fucking cutters, cuts his rib cage, and then obviously, like, by that point, he's probably dead, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a cool way to end it.
It was, yeah. Yeah. Anything else?
Not really.
Alrighty, well, that's the way the blood splatters.
Can actually say it with meaning this time.
Yeah.
All right, how did you rate this movie?
Well, I started Letterboxd score. Mine was exactly the same as yours, so but quality, I'll go a 6 out of 10. I think like some of the acting was okay. I think that what really killed it was like a lot of the writing I thought was just really bad. I liked the use of like special practical effects. Thought the concept was really cool. I thought, it was really too much of like a soundtrack or anything like that. But I don't know, like overall, I think it was like a well-made movie for 2008. So I go with a 6 out of 10. And then for story, I'll go a 4 out of 10. I think like they really just, they could have done so much more with this kind of concept. Like, it kind of reminded me of Saw a little bit, I guess. But just a lot of like the adult teenager route they went with it, like the fucking drugs and crack pipes and fucking sex throughout the whole movie, like kind of really did take me out of it and just kill the vibe. It's a movie like I would probably watch it again, honestly. Like, it's not a bad movie, it's just some stuff just wasn't right. Yeah, the characters I didn't particularly love. Like, I wish we kind of got some more with the other doctors as well. Like, Griffin is like an asshole, but like, you don't really learn much about him. Ben isn't really in it that much. So yeah, I go with 6 out of 10 and a 4 out of 10.
I'm gonna cop out. I'm gonna take the same score as you did.
Okay.
Six and a four for me. Yeah, like you said, it's not a bad movie, and I even said that in my review. Like, it's on Letterboxd. Like, it's not a bad movie. It's forgettable for some of the stuff, but like the beginning and the ending of this movie were really good. It's just all this random ass shit that they put in the middle of it. It totally takes you out of it, and it's so unnecessary. Like, they don't need to be fucking crack addicts. They don't need to have sex beside dead bodies and shit like that to like portray them as being crazy. Like, they're fucking killing people. We already know that they're crazy. You don't need to add all this other stuff into it. Like, especially the crack thing. Like, the first time they pulled out a crack pipe, I was just like, what the
Yeah,
fuck?
I was like, wait, no, that's just a fucking a weed bowl. And I was like, oh no, they're lighting it from the bottom. I was like, that's a crack pipe.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? It was so unnecessary, man. I feel like a movie like this could have came from like a Freda McFadden book. Like, I feel like this would be a really good book. If you take out like all the extra shit that's in it. But yeah, I mean, they had the groundwork for a really good fucking movie, and they just ruined it with this extra shit. So I don't know. I could watch it again for sure, but yeah, it's semi-forgettable for me.
Like, they could have had so much cooler kills. Like, there's a couple that are cool, but like it got more like brutal and gory and like, fucking goes to someone alive and like, I don't know, like cut them in like some way where like, I don't know, eventually their fucking like head falls off or something. I don't fucking know, but
That's another thing too. Like, the idea of this game is really cool. Like, they're killing them in these like secret ways almost, and they have to try and decipher the clues and figure out how they killed them. And it's just, I don't know, it's a really cool idea. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, six out of 10, and a 4 out of 10 for me.
Very nice.
All right, so you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. I had to rent this on Apple TV. I imagine you did as well. Did you see the score on Apple? Because it does have a Rotten Tomatoes score on it.
Yeah, it was either a 48 or 58.
Was a 46, but
Oh, okay, I was close enough.
yeah. But there's no critics consensus for this one, but. So yeah, it was a 46%, 24 reviews, and an average score of 4.6 out of 10. And the audience was a 39% on 25,000 ratings, and an average score of 2.9 out of 5, which would be a 5.8 out of 10. I think Letterboxd is similar to that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Not many people have watched this movie.
No.
So it has a 2.6, and I had my friend's rating clicked, and I was like, oh, this looks really weird because it's like, I don't know if you can see it, but it's like just
Yeah.
like big. I was like, oh, it's like only seven of my friends at least have watched this movie. But it's a 2.3. But yeah, we both gave it a 2.5. And like I said, only seven people I follow have seen it. And no one that anyone would know. So, yeah.
Right. Okay. Jump into the scare section.
Yes, sir.
All right, what did you give for a scare rating?
Scare rating, I'll go 3 out of 10, just like
Okay.
kind of combine like the gore and like the. Like these people are fucked up. Like they seem like normal people, but they're killers. So I go 3 out of 10.
All right.
Scariest scene. I don't know. Was it really like scary? I guess I would go with the fat bastard kill, I guess. It
Okay.
was like pedophile, you know.
Yeah.
And would I survive? I think I would because it seems like these people Just go after a scumbag and stuff like that. So I think I'd be okay.
All right.
How about you?
For my scare rating, I'm gonna go 4 out of 10.
All right.
Strictly based on like the use of practical effects and stuff like that. I think they did a really good job with the imagery. I don't know how like anatomically correct all this stuff was. I imagine it was fairly accurate though. But yeah, like we just see a darker side of the medical field. Like I don't suspect that this happens in real life, but it's just like, like it's a possibility, maybe. You never know. So yeah, I mean it kind of has that feel to it that like it could possibly happen in real life. So you kind of have that horror aspect of it. But yeah, I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 10 just on the practical effects and the gore that's in it alone.
Nice.
Scariest scene. I don't know. The old toothless woman laying on a bed with her legs spread. I don't know. And just like the way that that whole scene was shot, it just, I don't know. It fucked with my head. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, that's fair.
And would I survive? Yeah. Same as you. Same answer, same reasoning. Like I don't think I'm a shitty enough person for them to target me. So I think I would survive.
Nice.
And I'm not a doctor, so I mean, I wouldn't be conducting these games either. So I would have no reason for Ted Gray to kill me. Do you think they named him after Meredith Grey
That's
from
what I
Grey's
joked with
Anatomy?
Bettina was like reading while I was watching it. I was like, hey, look, it's Dr. Gray's evil brother.
That's great. All right, well, that wraps it up. So in 2 weeks, my pick, Ben from Extreme Horror Replay has been bothering us to do this movie. I'm finally going to accept his wishes, and we're gonna do Head of the Family.
Isn't it head of the table?
Head of the Family.
Oh, okay. All right.
Don't make me question myself. No, it's got to be Head of the Family. I know it's Head of the Family. Head of the Family.
Okay.
So
Cool.
I watched this for the first time a couple of years back, and I think you have yet to watch it. So
Yeah.
this is gonna be a fun episode.
All righty. Oh yeah, I remember you telling me about this, yeah.
This is gonna be up there with fuck, I can't remember what the name of it was. That one that was just like batshit crazy. And like there was like a giant woman with huge tits at the end of it.
Oh, Jensen's pick.
Yeah, what was that movie?
Radio, no. Videodrome.
No,
Yes.
that's Cronenberg.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
Damn, what was that movie?
Thought it was video something. So I had like two names.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. What was that movie? It's gonna be tough to find, probably. It's like fucking way back. I'm determined to find this. Dead Alive.
Yeah.
Damn, man, that was 2021. Wow. March 19th. So this is almost like 3 years ago to the day.
Jesus.
That was a fun movie. But yeah, I feel like this episode's gonna be something similar to that.
All right.
We're
All
gonna have
right.
fun with it. Anyways, we took way too long trying to figure out what that movie was. We'll wrap it up. If you guys want to catch us on social media, you can find us at A Podcast on Elm Street on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. If you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our T Public account where we have our merch. There's also a link to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. And there's links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of weeks.
See you later.